we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to the month of June here in Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast this morning. I want to start off this broadcast a little bit different and want to say happy anniversary to my bride. We've been married now for a long, long time, and I married up. I'm a blessed man, and so happy anniversary to my lovely bride. If you all run into her today, thank her for me for saying yes. And you have no idea what all she has put up with. There was a time where there were people who said all sorts of bad things about her, and really underestimated her commitment to the Lord and what all she was willing to do for her King and Lord and Savior. And so I honor her today, and she'll get embarrassed if she hears about this. So happy anniversary, my love. I do love you with all my heart. So you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, like I said, and we want to invite you out to our Sunday services this week. This is Pentecost Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come join us, be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly. And also want to remind you that coming up the following weekend, June the 10th at 6:30 p.m. and June the 11th at 10:30 a.m., we have Jerry Hill, who is going to be with us. If you have a passion for reaching the lost, I want to invite you to come to these two special services. If you can only make one, that's fine too. We created one as kind of a community-wide revival type of event. And then the second one, we know that there are people who attend their churches and all of that. So we're doing this as a gift to the community, but also as an opportunity for us to be equipped, better equipped, to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so last week I was at our district council and talked to people who know her personally, and they also have her scheduled, and said, man, you all are in for a phenomenal, phenomenal time. So, you know, anytime you have come from the background she came from, traveled the globe as a missionary, and then served alongside your husband in a 5-year-long revival that met every week, you know that she's got to be the real deal. And so where 150,000 people got saved over a 5-year period of time, that's exciting. And I believe that Brevard County needs a revival where not just where there are signs and wonders — we love signs and wonders, need signs and wonders — but where people get saved. Do you realize that there are more than 150,000 people in Brevard County that need to be saved and need to have their sins forgiven? And so we want to encourage you to put these next two weekends on your calendar. We are, I'm right in the middle of preaching a series called The Sounds of Heaven. The Sounds of Heaven. A lot of times, because we are such visual people, we focus on the streets of gold, the crystal sea, all of that sort of stuff. And because we're emotional, we think about the comfort factors, you know, the visual, the mansions and all of that, the throne. We also focus on the emotional and the physical, where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more pain, all of those. But a few weeks ago, God dropped in my spirit this concept of the sounds of heaven. And so I've been sharing that with our church, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in this series of messages. So that's what's going on at Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and be a part of all of that. Today we are going to return back to Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Isaiah, the 65th chapter. And so let me begin reading in verse number 1. We're not going to read through the whole chapter, but instead we'll stop where I think we will get through that amount of information today. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will repay, even repay into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, 'Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it,' so I will do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down, for my people have sought me." So I want to start with where we ended up the other day, and that is in verse number 5, where it says, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day." So there's two things I want to touch on, and that is the standard of holiness and then comparative holiness. The standard of holiness is one that people are trying to redefine, and yet God is the one who is the actual definer of the term. He is the standard. A lot of times people will compare themselves with other people, but that is not the standard. You can make yourself good, feel good. I can make myself feel good as a basketball player if I compare myself with 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds. And you say, well, that's kind of a ridiculous standard. Of course you're going to be a better basketball player than 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Well, it's just as ridiculous to think that we can redefine the standard of holiness or can compare ourselves with other people and feel good about ourselves. But the standard is Jesus. Jesus is the one that we need to measure ourselves up against. So I can appear more holy than many people who have committed heinous crimes. I can consider myself more holy on a plethora of different activities and standards. But none of that matters when we compare ourselves with Jesus. And so make sure that you understand that Jesus is the one who defines the standard. Now, I find this passage extremely shocking that men would say, "For I am holier than you," and have that standoffish approach, "Don't come near me." If you are unapproachable, you're not God. You're not acting like God. Jesus was a very approachable person. In fact, the disciples would try and keep people from him. They would try and keep children from him. And he said, "Don't prevent them from coming to me, because unless you become like a little child, you will not be a partaker of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus was very approachable. He was approached by people that others looked at and said, "Well, he cannot be a man of God because look how approachable he is. If he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her come near him." And so the religious leadership of that day said that the more holy a person was, the greater the distance there would be between themselves and those who were needing salvation. You know, I don't know if you've ever given consideration to doctors. Doctors go to places where there's tremendous sickness. There have been a number of physicians who have been exposed to things while they were actively seeking to bring treatment to people who needed healing the most. And so Jesus said, look, it's not because of the type of woman that she was. It is because of the type of worshiper she is. That's a pretty good statement. You might want to remember that. It's not because of the type of person you were. It is what kind of worshiper are you now. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. That meant that she was supposed to keep herself at a distance, but she came and touched Jesus in a manner that accessed the virtue and the power of God and brought healing to her body. There were a lot of people brushing up against Jesus that day. There was a large crowd, and so people are bumping into one another all the time. And Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. Somebody didn't just rub shoulders with me. They didn't just rub elbows with me. They didn't just bump into me. Somebody grabbed hold of who I am and what I can do, and their life is forever changed. He was approachable. And there was others who were crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people were saying, be quiet, be quiet. And Jesus would stop and say, what would you like me to do for you? There was Zacchaeus who wanted to see Jesus, and so he positioned himself up in a tree. And Jesus stopped and said, come down. I've got to spend the day at your house. Tax collectors who were the shunned of society. And Jesus would say, you know what? I've got to eat at your house today. I've got to come. I've got to have fellowship with you. He was known as a friend of publicans and sinners. He was accessible. And so we need to make sure that we realize that God is the standard and that we're not comparing our holiness with other people. We are comparing it with Jesus. And you want to make sure that you do that in a state of humility. Because I guarantee you, there is no test that you are ever going to put upon yourself and put upon God where you are going to come out the superior. There's not. You are not going to be superior in wisdom. You are not going to be superior in character. You are not going to be superior in power or strength. You are not going to be superior in skill. And you certainly will not be able to be superior in endurance. He is eternal. His strength never wanes. And you and I grow older by the day. A lot of times people say, how are you doing? I said, I'm older than I've ever been before in my life. And they said, did you have a birthday? I said, no, but I'm older now than I was when you asked me that statement just a minute ago. It's just a reality. We are living in this bubble of eternity called time, and Jesus lives outside of that bubble of time and invades it from an eternal perspective. You and I need to realize that God is more powerful than we are, and he is certainly more holy than we are. And so let's not be unapproachable. Let's make sure that we are seeking and saving the lost with the same passion that Jesus had. Let's go on to verse number 6. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, sir, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. So let's talk about this concept of accountability, about people's actions. Do you really think that God isn't paying attention? Do you think that he is ignoring, that he's oblivious, that he can be deceived with sleight of hand? Because I don't believe that God is any of those things. I believe he is paying attention to you with the same amount of detail that he is paying attention to me. He is paying attention to the acts, to the thoughts, the intents of the saved and those who have yet to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. God is very much aware of that which takes place in public as well as that which takes place in private. I will never forget when I heard Steve Hill preach in Brownsville, Texas, or Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, years and years ago during that revival. And he said, you know, men have recently in the past few decades developed the ability to see in the dark because of the technology that has made that possible. He said, but God's been able to do that all along. And they actually had the lights of the sanctuary turned out, and he had a camera, and he started taking pictures, you know, not actual pictures, but he was just going through flash after flash after flash. God sees what's going on, even though others may not be aware of it. We may have the blinds pulled down over their eyes so that they cannot see, but God is fully aware of it. And God said that he would make sure that he would deal with those sins in his timing. He said, I will repay. I want to share this moment of release with you, and that is release yourself from this concept of revenge. Vengeance does not belong to you. Vengeance belongs to God. You and I are supposed to take the attitude of blessing those who persecute us, blessing those who abuse us, mistreat us, say bad things about us, that we should conduct ourselves in such a manner that people say when they hear those ludicrous claims that they said, no, that's not the person that I know. We live in a day and age where there's a tremendous amount of distrust. There is a lot of distrust in America over the past 10 to 15 to 20 years that I've never seen before. I'm not saying it hasn't occurred, but I'm saying I've never seen it quite as bad, where unless you agree with a person that you just completely and totally do not trust anything that they say. And so I want to encourage you to take the mindset of being an agent of blessing instead of an agent of vindication. God says vengeance belongs to him. And so we need to trust that he is going to deal with it in his timing, in his manner, in his process, and it will be sufficient. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the long-suffering of God, the patience of God that he exhibited in Saul's life, who became the Apostle Paul. I'm thankful that he didn't that he didn't ignore Saul's actions. I'm thankful that he didn't destroy Saul before he became a believer, because my life and your life has been better served because of the relationship that Paul developed with Jesus. And so Jesus could share with him, and the Holy Spirit could share with him the words that we have in our New Testament that is such a blessing in your life and my life, the Word of God. And there are some people who say, you know, they like the Bible until all of a sudden it touches a secret spot in their life, and then all of a sudden they say, well, Paul said that, Jesus didn't say that. There's a different standard there. And I want you to know that the Old Testament, the New Testament, that the Bible says that those people wrote those words as the Holy Spirit moved them. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so God's not going to stay silent forever. There is going to come a day of reckoning. There is going to come a day of accountability. And it said that it would be dealing with the iniquities, not just of the person, but of the society. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your father together. And so I don't know if you've ever studied the compounding effect of finances, of interest, but the longer something goes along, the more expensive it becomes. If you owe a debt and you are not paying on it, the interest just continues to compound, and it builds and builds and builds. And so God lays out these matters here together. He said, these are some of the things that I am going to repay. He said, they've burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. What they were doing is they were worshiping other gods. A lot of times they would do it in high places. They would plant groves, and the scriptural understanding of that is that they were doing that to try and conceal it from being seen. And he said, and in the process, you have blasphemed me. Blasphemy speaks, it simply means to speak evil of. To speak evil of. And I want to challenge you today to allow your words to be agents of blessing to God, agents of honor to God, instead of a source of blasphemy. I don't want to be publicly or even privately saying negative things about God to where my neighbor is infected with my sinful attitude. I want to honor God. I want to obey God. I want to walk in alignment with His word so that my neighbors will see that the message and the messenger are in alignment with one another. They are harmonized with one another. So let's look at this. I'm going to take you to a verse in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And it's just a verse that came to mind as I was reading that. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so when you pick up that passage in Luke and you combine it with the passage here in Isaiah chapter 65, you see that God is looking at the way that we act, the way that we treat other people, the way that we respond to Him, and He is examining that with this intent in mind, that however you are treating others, however you are treating Him, however you are walking, that is the measure that you want to have used against you. And so if you want to have the standard of being a judgmental person, now, by the way, I will say that the verse there in the first part of Luke chapter 6, verse number 37, is one of the most abused passages of Scripture in modern society. There are people that say, well, don't judge me and say that my actions are sinful. Don't do that because it says, judge not lest you be judged. You and I do not make judgments according to our interactions with people. We don't make judgments according to our emotions. We don't make judgments according to our attitudes. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. And so that is what this is to be saying. And so whenever I'm dealing with a difficult circumstance, one of the things that I pray is this: God, take Bob's flesh out of this equation. Don't let me deal with this matter until I have dealt with me to where when I'm dealing with this situation, I'm not dealing with it from anger. I'm not dealing with it from bitterness or disappointment or heartache or failure or any of that. I want to deal with it in a righteous manner. And so when I deal with sin, I don't deal with it from a Bob perspective. I deal with it from a word perspective. It goes on and say, condemn not, lest and you shall not be condemned. The last thing that we should be telling people is, hey, go to an eternal destiny that is not heaven. I've had people tell me that. I've literally had people tell me that when we were having some discussions, everything was going fine until all of a sudden there was a difference of opinion, and I didn't even say anything. I just, you know, had this, you know, look that says I'm not so sure about that. And then they told me where they wanted me to spend eternity, and it wasn't in heaven. you and I don't want people dying and going to hell. We want people saved and going to heaven. It goes on and it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. And so we definitely want to be forgiven, right? But the Bible says that if we do not forgive those who have offended us and sinned against us, that that would be the measure that is used. If we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. The truth of the matter is, you and I have both offended God far worse than anybody has ever offended us. And so forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it shall be given to you. That's the next part of the equation. And so you and I need to be having an attitude of giving because that is the nature of our God. And it says it, all of these things, not just the giving part, but the judging and the condemning and the forgiving, it says that we will be repaid good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It used to be that you could buy a huge bag of potato chips and you would open it up and you would have about a third to a half of the bag would be filled with the substance, the potato chips, and the rest of it would be air. And it would say sold by weight, not by volume. And so what would happen, though, is if you crush those potato chips, if you press them down, if you shook them together, and you could get a whole lot more in there than what the manufacturer was selling you. That's the way that I want my blessings. And so God says, if you continue to live your life of sin, you are going to reap the harvest of that sin, good measure, pressed down together, running over, and I'm going to make sure it falls right in your lap. I don't want that. I want the blessing of God. So I don't want to be judging people by an unrighteous standard. I don't want to be condemning people to hell because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want God to use any standard except for the standard of the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. I want to be forgiving because I want to be forgiven. I want to be a giver because I want God to give to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. On this Thursday, I want you to know that God is a holy benefactor. He is going to make sure that you and I are not owed anything. He says that you are going to experience my blessings eternally, but you will also experience them in this land where you are living. God bless you. Have a great day. Happy anniversary, my love. I do love you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.